'n foutjie gehad. Ons pastoor Karel Holz is ongelukkig siek. Hy het so 'n bietjie mangel ontsteken en ek speel soos in Afrikaans, want ek het geen idee om dit in Engels te sê nie. So ek sal later by Tracy hoor wat dit is. So maar nie te min, ons moet altyd reg wees vir 'n woord in seisoen of buite seisoen. En Tracy, if you can come forward so long. So pastoor het Karel het vir Tracy gevra om vir ons net iets te deel wat sy die week ervaar het en wat ek dink die Here met haar nou paadjie stap hierdie afgelope week of 10 dae. En ongelukkig kan Tracy nou nog nie Afrikaans so mooi praat nie, so sy gaan ongelukkig in Engels praat, al is soos die Afrikaanse diens, maar ek glo ons allemaal verstaan dit. So Tracy is baie opgewonde, al is dit in Engels, ons is nog steeds opgewonde. So en ons vra die Here net, jy sal seën, ek gaan net gou vinnig gebid. Ag Here, ons dankie net vir hierdie vrou, Vader, wat U net oprig, Vader, deur die woord en deur die gees en alles wat U wil vermag, o Heer. Ons loof en prys net vir die Heilige Gees wat in haar is en so ongelooflik kragtig in haar werk, Heer. Ons vra dat U net haar lippe sal salf, Heer, en alles wat sy is, Heer, dit wat sy kom deel, Heer, U hart kom sal wees wat mense net kom vrymaak en krag gee en moed gee en opbou in Jesus se naam. Amen.
Good morning. I just have to excuse my husband. He's coaching the Namibian cricket team who are playing the Cape Cobras. And it's a really challenging lineup of a lot of the players have played for South Africa, so he's very engrossed there. But we just pray blessings on our Namibian team. This morning, I just want to speak to you about David and Goliath. And I've entitled this preach, How to Slay a Giant. At the beginning of last year, when we arrived here in Namibia, my son and daughter were enrolled at Windhoek Gymnasium. And my little boy, who was 7 years old at the time, came home. And I used to ask him, so have you made any new friends? Who are you playing with? And he used to say to me, no, he hasn't made new friends. He's playing with Grace's friends. So I thought, this is a bit strange. What's going on with the boys in Grace's class instead of the boys in his own class? And when I dug a little bit deeper, I found out, you know, he said to me, there's this one big boy, and if I play with them, then he wants me to buy him sweets. Oh, I was so cross about this. I thought, that's bullying. And Doug said, it's not bullying. He didn't physically hurt him or anything like that. He just wants sweets. I said, no, this is not right. This is my boy. And so Doug and I had this discussion, and Doug was telling me it's not cool if a boy's mother fights his battle. Tracy, you're not to do anything about this. All we can do is sit and talk to him about how to stand up to a bully. And so I just was praying about this, and I'm going to come back to that story. But this morning what I want to talk to you about is that I'm just coming to you today as a mom, who's talking from a position of that I had a son who was being intimidated and bullied. And I feel God wants to speak to you this morning as your dad about situations that you feel there is somebody who's intimidating you or bullying you. So if you can just look at it from that point of view. I also recently had a situation like this as well, and I was thinking, okay, so I'm a Christian. God, what scriptures come to mind? Turn the other cheek? No. Love your enemy? No. Lord, give me what you feel in this situation. And I just really felt that I didn't hear what to do, but I was like, Lord, I don't feel I must turn the other cheek in this situation. Or I don't feel I must love my enemy in this. I must love them, but I just feel there's something you want to tell me. And I said, Lord, please talk clearly. And I was teaching my three-year-olds, and as I sat down, I felt God say, turn in the Bible to David and Goliath. And when I opened this, it was like so amazing to me. God is our dad. He's a storytelling dad. He's a dad who loves us, and he can pitch that story to you whether you're 3 years old or 93 years old. The story, the truth is the same. So if you can just turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 17, verse 4. And I'm going to do a lot of reading. You're going to just sit back. You are the kids of the Lord this morning, and you're going to have a story. A man named Goliath from the city of Gath came out from the Philistine camp to challenge the Israelites. He was nearly 3 meters tall and wore bronze armor that weighed about 57 kilograms and a bronze helmet. His legs were also protected by bronze armor, and he carried a bronze javelin slung over his shoulder. His spear was as thick as the bar on a weaver's loom, and its iron head weighed about 7 kilograms. A soldier walked in front of him carrying his shield. Goliath stood and shouted at the Israelites, "What are you doing there lined up for battle? I am a Philistine, you slaves of Saul." Okay, if you picture what bullies you, and it might not be a person, it might be a fear. Hello? Might be a fear. It might be something that just stops you from walking into the promise that God wants you to walk into. So I want you to picture, and I want you to think of what is that bully. And remember that in this story, you are the character of David. That's you and I. So in this scene, there is a battle raging. There is an intimidating opponent. There is an army whose freedom is being threatened, because a bully always threatens your freedom. And if you do not win the battle, you will be enslaved by that bully. You'll be buying sweets every day. So when you picture this giant, this Goliath, and you think of how huge he is, the first thing that we understand is that he was operating using the spirit of fear. But we know that we don't walk with the spirit of fear. And here is what he says. "I dare you to pick someone to fight me." And when Saul and his men heard this, they were terrified. This is an army of the living God who are terrified and being bullied by a spirit of fear. By position and rank, they should have been brave. We as a church are an army of the living God. Fear should not torment us. Then if I move down to verse 16, it says, Goliath challenged the Israelites every morning and every evening for 40 days. He didn't just come out and sort somebody out. He tormented them for 40 days and 40 nights. If there is a bully in your life, it's something that just plants seeds all the time. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. It's something that wants to torment you. And it tries to do that because it wants to find a stronghold in your mind. In verse 20 to 26, it said, "Now then," we know in the story that David was sent out to go to his brothers and to give them food. David got up early the next morning, left someone else in charge of the sheep, took the food and went as Jesse had told him to. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelites were going out to their battle line, shouting the war cry. "Look at him," they said to each other. "Listen to his challenge. King Saul has promised to give a big reward to the man who kills him. The king will also give him his daughter to marry and will not require his father's family to pay taxes." David asked the men who were near him, "What will the man who kills this Philistine and frees the Israelites from this disgrace get? After all, who is this heathen Philistine to defy the army of the living God?" So we understand that David was brave. And what I want to do now is that we've looked at the opponent. We've looked at how huge and daunting this giant was. But now we need to look at the character of David. David was a shepherd boy. He wasn't a soldier. But David called God the living God. And God, so if he was living, I want to question you. Do you see God and experience God as living, as actually alive and active in your life? Or is he just somebody present on a Sunday, but actually when you go into work, the bully is terrorizing you? and he's more real than what God is. So he called him the living God, and he called him his Savior. David was sure of the love of God. So I just feel that we need to ask ourselves, what is our identity? Do we see ourselves as a son or as a daughter of the living God? Are we so convinced of the love of God? I love that first song that we sang, that we are loved by God. He loves you to death. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. So like I said to you, the enemy operates with a spirit of fear. He tries to torment your mind, and then he makes you feel weak and powerless. But we've got a scripture that we stand on, that we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Our armor is love. When we are convinced of the love of God, there is nothing or no one who can imprison us and enslave us. And in 1 John 4, verse 18, we know that it says, perfect love drives out fear. Then I just need to move over here. Your Majesty, David said, I take care of my father's sheep. Whenever a lion or a bear carries off a lamb, I go after it, attack it, and rescue the lamb. And if the lion or bear turns on me, I grab it by the throat and I beat it to death. I have killed lions and bears, and I will do the same to this heathen Philistine who has defied the army of the living God. The Lord has saved me from the lions and the bears, and he will save me from this Philistine. And that talks about the power of your testimony. There are many battles that you can look back on your life, and you know that God has saved you from the lion and the bear. So he can save you from anything that feels intimidating at the moment. And that reminds me of the scripture which says in Revelation 12, verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the power of their testimony. So when you know God's love for you, which is the blood of the Lamb, that he died for you, and you know the power of your testimony, then you know that you actually, this is also going to become a testimony, whatever situation you find yourself in. And then I also just felt, this is a little side note, that David was told to put on Saul's armor, and he couldn't wear Saul's armor. It was too big for him. And I just felt that we must know that we cannot wear another person's revelation as our protection. We need our own revelation and our own relationship with Jesus, and for him to give us our own truth and strategy on how we overcome things in our lives, even when we have to overcome ourselves. Okay, and then, so these are the tools on how to slay that giant. The first one we spoke about was to know the love of God, and we need to experience it daily. I heard of the story where somebody said her husband told her that he loved her, and he said to her, if it changes, I'll let you know. We need to hear that God loves us every day. We need to hear it. So we need to be immersed and encounter and think and let our minds be renewed by God's love every day. So then the story continues. So he took off all the armor, he took his shepherd's stick, and then he picked up 5 smooth stones from the stream and put them in his bag. And with his catapult ready, he went out to meet Goliath. So I was thinking, what could these 5 small stones be? I was in one situation where I was feeling intimidated by somebody who was very threatening to my circumstance. I thought, God, yes, just give me that stone that's going to bring the giant down. What is that stone? And I was telling Grace and Luke the story. And I said to them, and then there's only a little stone, and you just got to ask Jesus, what is that stone to bring the giant down? So Luke said to me, I know what that stone is, Mom. I said, really, Luke, what is that stone? So he said to me, the stone is the truth. He said, in the armor of God, the sword is the word. And so if the word was, was the sword then the word is the sword now. That is the stone, is the truth in that situation brings the giant down. So we've got to ask God, what is the truth? And he picked up those stones from the stream. And I just felt that the stream is the river of the Holy Spirit. That's where the truth is revealed to us. In that Holy Spirit time, where you just quieten yourself. Because the devil really wants you to engage in a physical battle, to talk back, to get involved. You just get weary, you get wounded. It's not worth it. When you know that there's a battle, you first go and you engage with the Lord in the quiet waters of the Holy Spirit. And he gives you the keys and the strategy to take down the giant. And it's normally with a little stone, and you don't even have to wear a lot of heavy armor, because you go fully, fully clothed with the love of God. And Grace and I were learning, but I actually forgot to go and look at an environmental study book again this morning. But there's somewhere in Namibia, maybe you guys can tell me, where they dumped weapons of war from World War II. They dumped it in some lake or something here in Namibia. Where is it? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I thought, wow, in the river are actually weapons. And that just gives you a physical picture. Yeah, in Namibia, although there's not a lot of water, there are hidden weapons for the giants we face here. Right. So, and then the next tool is that, this is what he said. He picked up the stones and he went towards the giant. And he said to the giant, "You, giant, are coming against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, of the Israelite armies, which you have defied. This very day the Lord will put you in my power. I will defeat you and cut off your head. I will give the bodies of the Philistine soldiers to the birds and animals to eat. Then the whole world will know that Israel has a God, and everyone here will see that the Lord does not need swords or spears to save his people. He is victorious in battle, and he will put all of you in our power." He's just saying this to this guy. He doesn't. So I thought, that is a huge statement to say to this 3 meter tall man. But God said to me, he prophesied over that giant. You must prophesy, and it will shut up the tormenting in your life. You begin to speak the word of God over that situation, and you don't listen to the torment and the lies, and it will come to pass. And then I just thought it was so funny, because you know, the giant was trying to mess with their heads, and at the end his head gets cut off. The story says here, Goliath started walking towards David again. And isn't David a beaut? David ran quickly towards the Philistine battle line to fight him. He put his hand into his bag and took out a stone, which he slung at Goliath. It hit him on the forehead and broke his skull, and Goliath fell face downwards on the ground. And so without a sword, David defeated and killed Goliath with a catapult and a stone. He ran to him, stood over him, took Goliath's sword out of its sheath, and cut off his head and killed him. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they ran away. Because who was their faith in? The giant. So when the giant's down, the whole army disappears. The men of Israel and Judah shouted and ran after them, pursuing them all the way to Gath. Suddenly, these guys now get full of bravery and start running as well. And to the gates of Ekron, the Philistines fell wounded all along the road that leads to Shaaraim, as far as Gath and Ekron. Okay, so now I just felt that, in conclusion, this is exactly the song that we sang in the beginning. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." But this morning, the message to you from God is, you can know God's love, see His power, and walk in His victory. His love is poured out on and over you, and it's time that we can say, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, verse 38 and 39. I just felt that some of us are getting tested at the moment because God has huge things for us. He's got such big things for us. We don't even understand who He sees us as being and where He wants us to go. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we a son and are we a daughter of the Most High God? Because, you know, at the end of the day, what Doug's advice was to Luke and my advice, I think both apply to the story. Because God is fighting your battles for you, but He requires that you co-labor with Him. It's no use your mother comes and fights your battle for you. He wants you to stand up and say, I go into this battle with God. I'm prepared to stand up and actually face this giant and get beyond it, because behind the giants is the promised land. And so I just feel that there is an anointing this morning for God's love to come and clothe us for the battles that we face. And I just feel it's such a peaceful, 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 amazing love that He wants to pour over us, that He wants to quieten our fears, that He wants to still us, that He wants to tell us that He knows us and that He loves us, and the victory is already ours. We just have to get up and go and take the land. And so this morning, I just feel that we must sing. I don't know how to take it from here, but I just feel that it's for all of us, you know. So maybe someone else wants to help me out.
Amen. Tracy, thank you. Worship team, can you just come to the front? Ach, nou sê ek nou Engels, excuse you. Ek dink dis iets baie belangrik, ek dink vir ons allemaal in die seisoen waar ons nou is, en dit is maar, ek dink jy weet waardeur jy gaan, en dis eintlik, die week was het vir my so ongelooflik, om 'n vriend van my wat ek al jare lang ken, en ek weet hy ken hierdie Here nie, maar net die probleme waardeur hy gaan, net die goeders wat hy mee struggle, wat hy eerlik met my kon wees en sê, maar Jesus, ek weet nie hoe vorentoe nie. En ek het die antwoorde, ek kan vir my Bybel net so gee en vir hom sê, oor die ou, vat hierdie woord en hardloop daarmee. Ek waarborg jou, 100%, as jy hierdie goed doen en volg, soos die Here jou lei, jy kan nie verkeerd gaan nie. Jou lewe gaan verander. En dit was vir my net so, jy wil dit so half opstaan en skree vir die ou, dat hy net moet begryp, want ek sien sy lewe is gemors, ek sien hoe hy sukkel om voor te kom, ek sien hoe sy oë net dood begin raak. En dis hoe die Here net vir ons daai gesag gee, en ek besef net weer eens hoe ongelooflik kragtig sy woord is, hoe ongelooflik sy liefde vir ons is. En dit is vir ons allemaal. En precies soos wat Tracy nou gesê het, ons Christen het hierdie ongelooflike, selfsugtige neiging om te sê, alles is goed met my, ek is fijn, terwyl ons nie is nie. Ons gaan deur issues, ons gaan deur donker dieptes, al is die Here met ons, hy sal ons nooit verlaat, hy sal ons nooit eensam laat, maar ons gaan deur moeilike tye. En ons moet eerlik met mekaar daaroor kan wees. Ons moet kan sê, hoor jy, ek is in die woestyn, ou, ek sukkel om die Here se stem te hoor, ek sukkel om tyd te maak om met hom net te kommunikeer, net te bid. Never mind eers woord te lees, wat ons daaglikse brood moet wees. En ek ben ek skuldig. Ek kom nie so baie by die Here uit soos wat ek moet nie. Maar tog is dit maar soos enige seën wat ons ontvang van die Here af. Dit hy ontneem nooit sy seën van ons af, sy teenwoordigheid, sy liefde, dis altyd daar met ons. En dit is net so ongelooflik van hom, wat jy net moet sê, maar Here, U is groot en magtig, ek is klein. En ek dink, dis precies wat Tracy ook wou gehad het vanoggend, is net, dat ons kan eerlik wees met mekaar hierso. Dat ons nie hoef iets voort te hou om te sê, hoorie, dit gaan goed. En daar is reëse in jou lewe wat rarig vir jou dom het, en vir jou sê, hoorie, jy is niks waard nie. Jy beteken absoluut niks nie. En dis ook net waar, nou gee ek weer my preek weg vir volgende week, maar is ook alright. Johannes 10 vers 10, ek ken nou net die Engelse weergawe. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill and destroy. En dis precies daai wat Tracy ook van praat. Daai duivel kom, en hy kom om te steel. En hy steel die waarheid van jou af weg. En daai waarheid is wat sy gesê het, wat vir jou basis die krag gee om te oorkom. En sodra hy daai begin steel het, daai waarheid van jou begin wegvat, dan kom het basis wat hy jou begin doodmaak, die sterk man wat God in jou skep, wat hom kan teenstaan en hom weg kan jaag. Sodra daai persoon verdwyn in jou hart, dan kan die duivel jou doodmaak. En hy sit jou in 'n plek waar jy absoluut niks beteken vir niemand nie, en jou lewe is 'n gemors. Maar as die teensin van daai vers ook, wat Jesus kom en sê, I have come that they may have life, and have it more abundantly. En dit is waar ons moet wees as Christen, en waar ons die lig vir die wêreld daar buite moet wees en sê, hoorie, ons het die lewe. En dis Jesus. En dis nie ek wat great is nie. En dis nie ek wat sien, ek kan net sien die Here hoe hy in my lewe verskil gemaak het, hoe hy dinge in my anders gemaak het. Situasies wat ek moes net moet sê, Here, ek weet nie om ver vorentoe te gaan nie. So ek het nou genoeg gepraat, maar ek voel net ons gaan nou worship. Yes. En soos ons nou gaan worship, is dit so half, wil ek net hê jy moet kyk na enigiets in jou lewe. Waar daar reus sit, wat iets in jou lewe inspreek, en net vir jou sê, hoorie, jy gaan dit nie oorkom nie. Jy kan nie beter wees as wat jy dink jy is nie. Dit klink nou sleg, maar jy kan nie, jy is nie so goed as wat die Here jou maak nie. Want die Here het vir Dawid gesê, hoorie, hierso is jy. Jy's 'n klein herdertjie, maar daar is hier reus, ek wil hê jy moet hom gaan verslaan. En hy het net hy hart gehad van, wie is hierdie ou? Wat my God so verkleineer en vir hom sê, hy is niks werd, ek ken my God. Ek weet wat hy doen, ek het die beer, ek het die leeu verslaan. Wie is hierdie Filistyn dat hy dink, hy kan van God so praat? En dis eintlik maar wat God ook vir ons wil hê. Ons moet weet wie God is. Ons moet weet hoe sy hart vir ons is. En dat hy vir ons net daai ongelooflike krag en gesag gee om enigiets in ons lewens aan te spreek. So, ek weet dat ons moet nou net die Here loof en regtig waar, soos wat ons loof, spreek jy daai goed aan in jou lewe. En as jy regtig sukkel, ek praat nie nou van jy sukkel, jy kan nie deurbraak kry nie. Ons sal saam met jou bid. Tracy sal saam met jou bid. Hier is 'n klomp mense wat regtig hierdie Here gaan aanspreek saam met jou en daai reus aanspreek. Ons is nie eilande wat hier apart is nie. Ons is 'n liggaam wat saam is. Party van ons is sterker in een gebied waar ander mense bietjie swakker is. Maar ons kan nog steeds dit saam aanpak. Ons kan nog steeds bid daaroor.
I just feel that the enemy has got us distracted with personal battles as well. Would you feel very uncomfortable if I asked you to come and make a line here? Because we are the army of the living God. And just in terms of the fact that we are standing together and that we are not going to be pushed back. And as we sing that, we just trust that God raises us up as an army to do something here in Namibia as well.